Thinking about New Year's resolutions, end of the year reevaluation of the way things are going, and I wanted to challenge you tonight with six vows. We need to recognize what a vow is when it's done before God. The world takes a rather cavalier attitude toward their New Year's resolutions. If they keep it, that's great. If they don't, they didn't expect to anyway. But a vow is something different. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, God strictly warns the vower, the believer, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. You see the attitude that he has. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. God does not look upon this with any favor. He tells us in Proverbs that fools are to be beaten and so on. He says, you make a vow to God and don't keep it, you're being a fool. So, think of a solemn vow. I wanted to, don't see this taking very long, six things to share with you. But the idea is this, that every Christian ought to know the joy of making some vows, and in doing so, a yielding of his life to the Lord. Only an uninformed or a backslidden Christian would refuse to make solemn vows. A solemn vow before God, one that you intend to keep it or die trying. The first vow is this, a vow of separation. A vow of separation. He found this in 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18. Wherefore, he says to the believers there, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Quoting from passages in the Old Testament, the idea is that God does not go in for the unclean things. You are departing from his way when you do that. So, taking a vow of separation. This would mean that you determine to do certain things and not to do other things. Now, a vow, they often made a vow for a certain period of time and so on. They tell me that to make a habit, you have to do something regularly for like 2-3 weeks. And then it builds into it, that or the muscle memory or something. You build into it. So let us recognize what we do that's not separated. And vow, a holy vow, a solemn vow before God, to separate ourselves from that. Don't get into it. Don't go that way at all. A second vow would be a separation from. Vow of separation, well, what kind of separation? Well, separation from. And we see this from Daniel. Daniel 1:8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. The request was, I would be personally defiled if I ate that and drank that, and I would prefer not to be defiled. That's my request. He didn't say, I don't like that food. He said, my purpose is to avoid being defiled before my God. So The vow of separation could be a separation from, as Daniel, or a separation to, like Paul and Silas in Acts 13:2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul." The "they," by the way, was the elders working there at the church in Antioch, the first Gentile church. And the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." This is when God sent them as missionaries out. So sometimes you ought to make a vow before God to be separated to something. The two things are similar. If you are separated from, you're being separated to. If you're separated to, you're being separated from. A separation is between two ends of the spectrum. So, but your thought may be more, I am dedicating myself to this. I am separating, for instance, myself to the Word of God, that I will sit down, I will take a half an hour, could be more, but the vow would say at least 15 minutes, you know. Read at least a chapter of the Scripture, spend some time in prayer. That could be a separation too. Then I think there would be a vow of service. We find this given in Joshua 24, 14 and 15. "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth." He's urging Israel. "And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." Hardee's on their big cups, which I'm quite familiar with, as you know, says, "Eat like you mean it." What Joshua is saying, look, if you're going to worship, worship like you mean it. None of this dabbling stuff. Serve the Lord. Or if you don't want to serve him, choose who you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He had taken a vow of service. Perhaps the vow would be in service to the Lord, particularly with your family, perhaps particularly with a part of Christian service, like going on visitation. Perhaps you would say, "I want to give God this year. I want to particularly emphasize my service to him this year. Serve him." Then again, a vow of stewardship. Jacob vowed a vow saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I may come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and all that thou shalt give me I will surely give the tenth unto thee." A vow of stewardship. Jacob here before the law vows to tithe. Abraham before him paid a tithe. And so he has this vow of stewardship. The New Testament isn't demanding like the law, down to the penny and this type of thing. My wife and I have always taken the strategy that if that was good enough, if a tenth was good enough for the law, we ought to start there. But we want it to be a tithe and an offering, so we round it up. And depending on how we're doing, we can round it up, you know, to the next dollar, to the next five, to the next 10, whatever, but we can round it up. And so it's like, it's not like we have to write down, you know, $23.75, because that's the 10th. We want to come to the place where we write it out because we want to give that, not demanded of us. So a vow of stewardship. This deals with the tithe. This deals with the offering. It deals with finances. It deals with debt. The scripture Jerry Thompson was mentioning a while back, God says, owe no man anything except love. So we ought to be concerned, especially in this time of difficult economics, to not be people that go into debt. So a vow of stewardship, to do things God's way financially, to support his work. I was thinking of Mary, who gave that ointment. The concept is that this was unbelievably expensive. This was costly. The thought from the disciples, perhaps prompted by Judas, but the other disciples chimed in, was to say, oh, man, that could have been sold for almost a year's salary of the laboring man, and we could have given that to the poor. So here is, I mean, a laboring man, a year's salary, and she just poured it out on Christ's feet. You know, perhaps this year, and I say it to us, are the few and faithful here, burden on my heart is Heritage Baptist College. We have really a lot that's worthy there. Jeb's a graduate. Seth graduated. We've had others. Jeremy graduated. Didn't quite graduate, but attended, part of the alumni. And back in the day, when I was the first teacher there, there was a Dave Tunis and a Nancy, were you married then? Yeah. Jones, Nancy Jones, attending what became Heritage. I say all that to say this, that we're at a stage where to gain students, we need a dormitory. We have a beautiful property and a very sturdy building, and we need to build a dormitory. They've broken ground. They just need the money. And somebody kind of gave the idea. I gave the name of it the Hopewell 100, because they need 100 people, 100 gifts of $3,500. And that would pay for the whole thing. And I thought I would like to challenge our church to do that. The church, by our membership, owes a lot to Heritage Baptist College, at least the heritage of Heritage Baptist College. And for us to take an offering, gather it together, put it together, and have $3,500 to be one of the Hopewell 100 would be a great blessing to me. But from time to time, I think we ought to take a vow to give some unexpected, irrational, generous gift, as Mary did. Finally, let me just say the vow of salvation, the vow of salvation. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee, I have helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let us, with all our concerns and all our Christian duties, recognize that one thing is important, and that is our salvation. Hell will be filled with those who said they'll take care of their souls next year. Not today. Not today. Can we take an analytical view and say, have I really been saved? Have I really experienced the new birth? Or am I just involved in a religious activity? Like all the world is involved in religious activity. But they don't know the truth. They don't have the truth. Take a vow of salvation. I will yield myself to Him. There are other vows, of course, that you could make, but I wanted to share this, the concept, the multifaceted vow of separation, the vow of service, of stewardship, and of salvation. Didn't take very long. Let's bow for prayer. Father, You've given us an opportunity tonight to recognize that we very seriously might come to the place where we decide we will actually vow to do something for You, something that You've told us to do, something we intended to do but have not done. Perhaps it is to be separated away from some wicked thing, some defiling thing. Perhaps it is a vow to be separated to a definite area of service. Perhaps just in general the vow of service, and perhaps in general a vow of stewardship. But Father, most of all, the vow of salvation. Father, if we live this life and miss Your opportunity to love You, to receive Christ, to be saved, then we have lost everything, and nothing that we have done in this life will mean anything to us. So help us to be people who seriously consider and make a solemn vow before Thee. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.